dash a digit. The schedule busy, my head.
What up, ladies and gentlemen? It's Tyler Sorrow of Mad Dog, and today I am in studio in Massachusetts with Hunter Sorrow. Later on in the show, maybe like a minute later, we're going to have Dan on the line.
He's actually calling in right now, so we're going to get him on the line real quick.
Dan will join us for the first portion of the podcast, and then he will leave before the break when me and Hunter...
Dan, how's it going?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good to have you back, Dan. You've been gone for a little bit off at college, ZooMass. How's it treating you?
Pretty good.
Have you been to any...
A lot of fun.
Have you been to any of the football games yet?
I have not. Their first home game was the 25th, so I wasn't here yet. And then their last game was away against BC.
BC put up about 800 yards. They had 480 at the half.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about it. It was 47 at halftime.
It's good money for a school that doesn't really need money. Anyways, let's get to baseball talk. And to start out the show, we are going to recap this Sox and Braves series. And I said the Sox, you know, I think I said it'd be good if they won the series. I didn't think they were going to win the series because I think they were finally facing a good team in sort of a bumpy patch of the season they're going through. But they proved me very much wrong. First two games they cruised by, and then today was a really interesting story. And we're going to get to that after we review the first two games of the series. So,
they're without a doubt the best late-inning baseball team in history.
Late Lightning. I mean, you can't...
Obviously, you said we'd get to that after. That was in today's game. You're going to talk about the success in the late innings. Cora pretty much pulled every successful string he possibly could have.
Yeah.
He had five pinch hitters in that inning. And almost every one of them got a hit.
Except
Mookie.
Mookie
was the only one that didn't,
I don't think. Okay.
Who was the game one pitcher in this series? Was it Eovaldi?
I think it was Eovaldi. Wasn't it Eovaldi during the delay?
No,
wasn't it Brian Johnson?
Yes, it was Brian Johnson. Brian Johnson got off to a rough start to start game one.
He gave up four in the first, I believe.
But the bullpen backed him up, surprisingly. And sort of been the theme, you know, get down early and come back late. I mean, it's no way to sustain success, but I mean, it really is working for the Red Sox.
It works, yes.
Right now. So, I mean, for right now, I think it's good. And I think come October, they're going to clean up, you know, those woes that they have, you know, getting down early in games. And especially when they have their four best pitchers going, because they're not going to have Johnson starting a playoff game.
Are they going to have Eovaldi? Because I don't want to see Eovaldi in a playoff game.
I think they're going to have Eovaldi in the bullpen.
He can't start. He's shown that.
Yeah, he has legit stuff, but his command is not there.
One thing is for sure, the two people I do not want to see anywhere around this organization are Pomerantz or Hector fucking Velasquez.
Velasquez is credit.
He gave up two runs in the first inning, but that was it.
He settled down, I'll say
he's
that.
He's just really ugly, and I don't like him.
He settled down after that.
He went five innings? Five innings?
Four innings.
Without any runs?
Four innings.
After the first? Four innings?
Yeah.
Alright, well, four innings, two runs. That's not that bad. That's giving the team a chance to win. It's not that bad.
He settled down. Okay, and then for game two...
I should rephrase that. I don't want to see him as a starter.
All right, and then for game two, Porcello, he got back to him old self, went five innings, only one earned, struck out five. Classic Red Sox win. They won that game 5-1.
Got out of a jam.
Yep, and I mean, to his credit, he hit the ball again, has the highest average on the team. I mean...
Who does?
Rick Porcello. He's batting like .482.
True.
He has a hit in his last three games against the National League.
I mean,
He rakes.
Ricky rakes. All right. And now we're going to get to the game that everybody wants to hear about, and that is today's game, the noontime game. I was refreshing my feed all day in school for the final two periods, checking on the score, and I didn't refresh my feed after I saw, you know, Drew Pomeranz try to lose us the game.
Well, you definitely got my text updates. I've made sure to give you a nice play-by-play.
Yeah, and Drew Pomeranz is not going to make the postseason roster.
No,
I'll give you my postseason roster later in the episode.
To, to... Well, I just have a question, because where's he going to go? Is he going to be released? Because he can't be sent down. They
yeah,
don't...
Released.
It's in his contract that he can't be sent down.
He'll be released.
He'll be released.
He's not helping. He's not helping the team, and I thought that he was sort of coming around now out of the pen, but the guy's just terrible. He just sucks. He's so bad.
He was atrocious today. Five runs and however many innings it was.
I mean, it's like he wants
Pomeranz in one third of an inning, let up three hits, two walks, five earned.
Yeah, it was ugly.
What is that? That's not even statistics.
His ERA is up to a 6.18.
No, they bailed him out. They really did. The offense came around, and we're gonna.
I mean, and that's sort of been the theme.
Basically, for anyone who missed the game today, there was no offense until the eighth inning.
Yeah, six runs in the eighth inning. That's no way to live, especially when down this stretch run.
They had one in the second, six in the eighth, and two in the ninth.
Brandon Phillips was an absolute stud today.
Believe me, you know, great
win. He scored their run in the second. And
he scored their first run in the second. He scored the tying run in the eighth, and then the go-ahead home run in the ninth.
Which was absolutely crushed, by the way.
Hey.
The outfielder didn't even move.
This guy's had four at-bats in his Red Sox career and probably has one of the best bat flips of all time.
That, like, fall away with the back, like, lean back.
Yep.
And the... I was watching that when it happened. My roommate and I were sitting there, and we're just like, that did not just happen. Like, the ball was hit, and we're like, oh, my God. Brandon Phillips, now 37 years old. When the Red Sox signed him, he started in, like, single-A ball. And he's been in the minors for
And
like
he's
the
been
last
raking,
months.
To his credit. He's been working. I mean, usually when you send a veteran down to the minors, you know, they won't. You know, they'll just sort of give up and burn out. But Brandon Phillips, he was working. I think he knew he had a little bit left in
him. You got to give him credit, though, because I heard today he had the opportunity. Like, being in the minors, it was in his contract. He had the opportunity to opt out of his contract and become a free agent. But he wanted to stick around. He wanted to stick with the club. And he wanted to fight. And he did. And he got up to the major league roster. And he's already making a difference.
And you saw that today. It was a lot. Today's game was a lot like the Marlins game. The second game of the series, when it seemed like pinch hitting, it was pinch hitting every time, you know, the Red Sox needed a big hit. Kinsler had a huge hit. Nunez got on base. Bogarts got on base. And Brandon Phillips, I mean, for a late season acquisition that can help a team win games, I mean, that's priceless. And
you didn't mention Zooey Lynn. He had a hit.
Yeah, I mean, and here's Hunter right now with a... post-game interview with Brandon Phillips.
What a moment. First major league game this year, your first game with the Red Sox. Can you have imagined a better start?
No chance. Well, I'll tell you one thing. It was a tough game at the beginning, but we came back. We don't give up. I've been watching these guys when I was down there in the bushes, trying to get up here to help these guys out, but it was fun to watch, and I saw that they're always coming back when they're down. They never give up, and I'm happy I could be a part of that today.
Well, speaking of fun to watch, ninth inning, can you take us through that at bat?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm back in Atlanta, Georgia, and, you know, playing in front of my family and fans, and I said, man, if I get a chance to do something, I'm going to try to make something happen. And I had my chance, and I said, hey, man, I need to make it rain today. And then next thing you know, he ended up throwing me a little cutter. He left it right there, and I took advantage of it, and look what happened.
In the eighth inning, you guys are down 7-1. What is the vibe in the dugout as that inning is unfolding?
You know, everybody's still just picking everybody up. I mean, I love this team. I'm glad that the Red Sox organization gave me a chance to come here and do that. And just watching these guys play all year long and seeing how it is, I'm glad to be a part of it. Like I said, I'm just rather speechless right now. I'm happy to be back in the major leagues.
So, I mean, that's the epitome of a team player, a veteran. The Yankees can give all their prospects for Andrew McCutchen. But I think we got a guy here in Brandon Phillips who will serve a similar purpose to what McCutchen will serve to the Yankees. I mean, you hear him right there, 100%
like
team player.
Reserve? Is he going to be a reserve infielder? Like, what's he going to be? Is he going to be a guy
who Phillips?
Plays like...
Oh, he'll
make
the postseason roster.
He'll be a pinch hitter, a pinch
runner.
Well,
Kinsler's kind of their second baseman, so is he going to be...
He can play.
Believe me, they'll find
a reserve guy.
They'll find a way to fit him in. I think a guy with that much talent, you have to. I mean,
I don't know. I think Kinsler's hot. I think he's
yeah,
he's
and I think Kinsler's going to get that job over him.
I think Phillips offers too much, whether it's base running or defense. I mean, the hitting is kind of...
Well, no, but you're not going to play him... Are you saying you're going to play him over Kinsler?
No, I'm not saying that.
No, that's
if Kinsler
that's
goes down
with
an injury or if there's a pinch hit situation, you never know.
Well,
oh,
yeah, obviously.
I see Brandon Phillips as like a two-night-a-week guy, depending on the matchup. I don't really know who he hits well, righties or lefties, or if there's a pitcher or pitchers that he hits well in his career or whatever. But
obviously,
I feel like... I feel like a two-game-a-week kind of thing for Phillips is a rest for Kinsler. Maybe Kinsler doesn't hit a side righty or lefty as well, and maybe that's where they fit Phillipson. What do you think?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe if a matchup goes one way, then maybe you're going to pinch hit Phillips. If his numbers are better, maybe if he hits that specific candid pitcher better. Maybe if Kinsler's having an off night, maybe you try out Phillips or you try out Holt.
So
the Red Sox have...
Oh, I was gonna say, so basically you think Holt doesn't play second base again this year because it's going to be Phillips and Kinsler's show.
I think it can be...
Well, Holt can play every position on the ball.
I think it's going to be between Nunez and Devers, who makes the postseason roster, and right now I feel like I'm probably leaning toward Nunez.
They're both on the roster right now.
They're
going to
make
the
both of them are
going to
make
the
postseason.
I think they're both going to be on the roster. It's going to be a matter of starting lineup.
Okay, well, so that gets me to my next point. We're going to get to the postseason roster projections, the Mad Dogs postseason roster projections, right after we quickly hit on a subject that I find words are hard quite fascinating, and that's Dombrowski strikes gold again with Brandon Phillips. You know, he's made a lot of late notable acquisitions in these seasons for veteran old players that have come in and contributed extremely well to the teams. Here's just a few. Rajay Davis, Brad Ziegler, Ian Kinsler this year, Eduardo Nunez, Steve Pierce, and now Brandon Phillips. He's bringing in these role players, these depth players that are helping the Red Sox win games down the line and that are serving very, you know, valuable pieces to these ball clubs because they're helping you win, because they provide that extra bat, because they can, you know, make plays on the base path.
Most of these guys play multiple positions, obviously not the pitchers, but Nunez can play second or third, Kinsler can play second, he can probably play third, but, and then you have Phillips, who's also had a good amount of games in his career at shortstop.
He's playing
Bogaerts is the shortstop. He's not going to play at shortstop.
Yeah.
No. If he needs rest or...
Okay. So now, that's just the point I wanted to get to really quick because, you know, Dombrowski, I know he misses on things like Carson Smith, Thornburg, Pomeranz, but...
Yeah, pitchers.
But before the misses, I think he hits... I think he makes more hits than misses.
Yeah, but it is easier to hit on hitters than it is
pitchers. And nobody thought that Carson Smith was going to have Tommy John as soon as he got here. Nobody thought Thornburg...
Twice.
Well, I mean, yes, but... So now we're going to get to another section here. This is going to be the final section we're going to review until the break, and that is the Red Sox postseason roster projections. Now, MLB rules would be a little bit too intense to say. Rules stipulate that each team in the postseason is only allowed to have a maximum 25-player roster. So most teams, you know, they go with the generic...
They're up to 40 right now, right?
Most teams go with the generic 6-5-9-5 in terms of numbers. I think that adds up. Anyways.
Yes, that adds up to 25, yeah.
So I have the Red Sox. They're most likely going to go a 7-4-9-5. 7 relievers, 4 starters, 9... lineup guys and 5 depth guys. And here is the...
Now, how many relievers are you saying? 7?
7.
So does that include Brian Johnson and Velasquez?
No, that includes Johnson and Eovaldi.
Really?
Let me just get to the list. Okay, so for relievers, I have Kelly, Brazier, Kimbrell, Hembree, and Barnes, and then Eovaldi and Johnson as extended relievers if a starter gets in trouble. Now for my starters,
Did you say Workman?
No, Workman will not make the postseason roster.
He's been good.
Yeah, and he's good for what they're doing right now, but come postseason time, I'd much rather have Kelly, Brazier, Kimbrell, Barnes, and Hembree over Workman.
I don't know that I'd want Eovaldi over Workman.
Well, you need
he's good for that extended
one. You need extended
one, in case
relievers.
Rick Porcello comes in and gets shelled, but I mean, I think one is probably enough with Brian Johnson.
I think Workman.
I think you need two, because what if it happens on back to back nights?
Workman,
you can't,
is a long
when
reliever.
You get to the postseason,
you pitch the starter that didn't
when you
pitch.
Get to the postseason, you can't completely deplete your bullpen. You have to keep your bullpen constantly fresh to go on a deep run and pitch at a high level the whole time. The reason the Red Sox had so much success in the 2000...
Workman has shown he can go 3-4 innings.
But the reason the Red Sox had so much success in the 2013 playoffs was because their starters were going 6-7, and then their bullpen had a short workload. These starters, I don't know much about them in the postseason. So I'm saying, just be cautious and get two extended relievers on there. The starters are, you know, who'd you expect? Sale, Rodriguez, Price, and Porcello are going to be the four starters to make the postseason roster.
I agree.
And then, as far as hitting is concerned, the lineup that's going to make the postseason roster, I think this is going to be the lineup in Game 1, whoever they're playing. Betts, Benintendi, Xander, JD, Moreland, Nunez, Kinsler, Sandy, and Jackie. And then for the depth, Swihart, Holt, Phillips, Devers, and Pierce. That's your depth.
That sounds good. That sounds good.
Those are your depth positions. And I think
so who are the snubs there? The hitters that aren't making it. You got Vasquez, who's, I mean, not much of a snub.
Vasquez, Lynn.
You got
really not that much.
No, not really.
Vasquez, Lynn, Pedroia, I guess you could say.
He hasn't played all year.
Well, I mean, but...
No, I think that's a pretty good list. I think that's where you want to be, I guess.
There, right?
Yeah, for the depth positions, it went Swihart, Holt, Phillips, Devers, and Pierce, and that adds up to 25. 7-4-9.
Yeah. Alright, I mean, yeah, I think that's the best list. I mean, we disagree between Eovaldi and Workman. I think Workman is ultimately better out of the pen than Eovaldi. Eovaldi can't get anybody out.
But
so,
I think there's
know.
A lot more. There's a lot more bullpen snubs than there is hitting snubs. For bullpen, I don't think Wright is gonna make it. Workman won't make it. Thornburg, I don't have making it.
Hunter, what are your thoughts?
Velasquez won't make it.
Would you want Eovaldi or Workman in your pen right now if you had to pick one of them?
If I had to pick one of them, I think
Eovaldi or Workman.
Probably Workman. I think
Eovaldi doesn't get anybody out.
I think
he can't get anybody out.
You have to stick with them.
I disagree. He now has four bad starts in a row. What are you waiting for? He had two good ones and four bad ones in a row. He hasn't shown a good start in weeks. I don't know what there is to stick to. Like, he's not pitching well, so why would you stick with him?
Actually, though, Stephen Wright looked good in his two latest games.
He's letting a lot of people on base. I mean, that's a recipe for disaster. He's not...
Stephen Wright?
Yeah, he's still not healthy.
Nah, I would go Workman. Alright, boys, I gotta go. I got another engagement. But thank you for having me. I'm glad to be back.
It's been a pleasure.
And,
hope to hear from you soon, Dan.
Of course.
All right. Have a good night.
Talk to you later, boys.
Have a good night. All right, Hunter. But I mean, there's obviously a lot more pitching snubs than there are hitting snubs. Would you agree? All right. So now,
yeah, that's going to be the same thing on every team, pretty much.
Well, yeah, obviously, because there's a lot more pitchers than hitters on teams. Now I'm going to get to the Sox Talk question of the day. Right before a quick break, and then Hunter's going to hit you with the headlines after that. Okay. So for the Sox Talk question of the day, do you think the Red Sox bullpen, let me restart that. Do you think that the Red Sox can out-hit their bullpen woes? Once again, the question is, do you think the Red Sox can out-hit their bullpen woes / struggles for those of you who do not have an intense enough vocabulary? You can hit me up at TylerSorrow53@gmail.com with your answers, or you can DM me at the Instagram handle Sox Talk, all one word. You can DM me there. Once again, can the Sox out-hit their bullpen woes? You can email me at TylerStar53@gmail.com, or you can DM me at the Sox Talk handle, all one word, on Instagram. So now, Hunter, we're going to go on a quick 2-minute break, and then Hunter is going to come right back with your Sox Talk headlines. I'm back with the headlines for Sox Talk headlines of the day. To start off, Sox beat the Braves 9-8 in a thriller with the eighth inning comeback, starting with those 6 runs and the last 2 runs to cap it off in the ninth with the Brandon Phillips not walk off but game winner home run. Also, in other news today, the Indians beat the Royals 3-1. And then last night for games, the Rays were winners 4-0 over the Blue Jays. The Indians defeated the Royals 9-3. The Braves lost to the White Sox 5-1. The Red Sox beat the Braves 5-1. The Texas Rangers defeated the Angels 4-2. The Houston Astros beat the Twins 5-2. The White Sox were 8-3 losers against the Tigers. The Yankees defeated the Athletics 5-1, and the Orioles beat the Mariners 5-1. In the NL, the Pirates beat the Reds 7-3. Cards beat the Nationals 11-8. The Phillies beat the Marlins 9-4. The Brewers defeated the Cubs 11-1. The Giants lost to the Rockies 6-2. The Padres got shut out 6-0 to the D-backs. And the Dodgers defeated the Mets 11-4. Injury news, Shohei Ohtani was recommended by the Angels that he undergo Tommy John surgery after a recent MRI revealed new damage to his UCL. And also, the newly acquired Donaldson from the Indians was placed on the 10-day DL with a calf injury. This is mostly preventative, but it's something worth noting. Other Sox news, they beat the Braves 9-8, becoming the first team to come back by 8 in the final 2 innings. Phillips was the first player in Red Sox history to wear the number 0, and the magic number for the Sox for a playoff berth is 4 wins, and to clinch the division, they need to win 14. All right, thank you for those headlines, Hunter. And now we are going to be back, and we're going to close the show with what you guys are probably all excited for. I know I'm excited for a hype series. I think this is a prove-yourself series for the Red Sox here against the Astros. I think if they don't win this series, I think it's a bust. They're at home. They have their three best pitchers that are healthy right now going against I think, the worst Dallas starters.
Garrett Cole?
Cole's not pitching great, and Keuchel's not pitching great, and the TBD is actually a kid that hasn't pitched before.
Is he?
Yeah, so, and the Sox have Price, Rodriguez, and Porcello going. So the matchups look like this. The Sox are playing the Houston Astros Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Okay, this is a huge series at Boston. The Red Sox have to get at least two wins out of this. And here go by game. Cole versus Price, TBD versus Rodriguez, and Keuchel versus Porcello. You have your three quote-unquote aces right now going, because no Sale right now, going in this series. I expect the Red Sox to at least win two, because they're in their own place. They should. What are your expectations as far as it goes for the Red Sox in this series?
I expect them to win two games with the pitching matchups. If Eduardo can, I mean, I think the biggest question is Eduardo Rodriguez, if he can come back and pitch the way he did last
time. If he does, I'll be way more, you know, I think, comfortable with seeing him out on the mound, because I don't want it to be a problem where he's not completely healthy and he comes back pitching poorly.
Also, I think, JD, Mookie Betts, Xander Bogaerts, although they did come in for pinch hitting situations today, JD did not, however, but I think they shall be they would be well rested, and I think they're ready to make a big run, start towards this postseason push. Not that they need to push for the postseason, but you know, push for the
wrap up. I mean, the magic number for a postseason berth is four. They're gonna get in. I mean, four wins is inevitable.
What, three against the Orioles,
three against the Mets.
Yeah, they're that's not in question.
They're in. Okay, everybody, calm down. They're in. Okay. And to win the division, it's also a pretty short number.
14 out of the next, what is it, 28? 28?
Something like that. So anyways, I think the Red Sox, I think this is a prove-yourself series, because a lot of people are saying they're beating the teams they should beat, but they're not beating the great teams. They just beat a great Braves team.
They swept the Yankees a while back.
Split the series with the Indians. So they're performing against good teams, but I think if they win the series against the Astros, there's no doubt in my mind that this Red Sox team can take anybody on in the postseason.
And if they can get out of the American League, there's no doubt they win the whole thing.
Maybe if they see the Dodgers.
I don't think the Dodgers have the pitching.
I mean, Kershaw's coming back to what he used to be.
Not really. I mean, outside of Kershaw, though, who's their second starter?
Rich Hill.
Sorry.
Rich Hill's not terrible.
He's like Porcello. He's not our second starter, though.
Okay. But anyways, you know, I think it's going to be interesting. I think the main storyline should really be Red Sox pitching versus the Astros bats. The Astros have the most talented bats in the league, and the Red Sox have...
Bregman's having
a tear.
Outstanding year.
Making a push for AL MVP, Bregman is.
No, he's not. I don't think he's in.
I think it's too late, too little.
I think Altuve's still hitting in the 320s, 330s, as he always is. You got Carlos Correa hitting 280. You got, what's his name? The guy that wears no batting gloves. Big Swider? Guy with the beard, no.
Oh, Springer.
No. Springer's also hitting well, though.
Gattis.
Evan Gattis hitting for power. You know, they got a talented lineup there.
But I don't think it's nothing that Price, Rodriguez, and Porcello can't handle. And I expect them to all go out and pitch quality outings. I have 100% faith that they'll do that.
And they're not facing Verlander. So
they are facing Cole, who is struggling, and Keuchel, who I think is their worst starter, other than this TBD kid. I don't know anything about the kid. I don't even have his name on my sheet right now. That's beside the point. You still got to go, and you still got to hit. The Red Sox have to win this series. I think it's more so a prove-yourself series rather than, you know, important series for the Red Sox.
If they can take this series 2-3, I'll be a lot more confident than I was.
Yeah, so it's still TBD from what I'm seeing. Okay, and we're going to move on to another major Red Sox news. I'm sure it has everybody up all night as the Chris Sale injury, the inflammation in his throwing shoulder. Chris Sale says to NESN reporters that shoulder inflammation never was a major issue. Now, it's just been over 2 weeks since Chris Sale found himself back on the disabled list with left shoulder inflammation.
and even though he made just one start between DL stints, the left-hander indicated the injury wasn't one to worry about. The Boston Red Sox starter owns a 12-4 record with the American League leading 1.97 ERA, and while the team expects him to return to the mound soon, Sale said he won't be making any changes to how he throws the baseball despite two trips to the DL this summer. And I quote from what Chris Sale said, "I'm not going to show up in spring training next year thinking we're going to focus on this. Whenever I get done with this, I'm going back to exactly what I used to do." That's via WEEI's Rob Bradford. It's been exactly blown up or gone too in-depth because it's not a big deal. If there was a serious issue, we would have had to address it, and we would be open about it, but we haven't had to. The optimism found has certainly should put Red Sox fan at ease, especially with how adamant Sale is about his shoulder not being anything to fret because all starting pitchers experience something similar. And I quote, "There was never any major issue with my soldier. Shoulder. There, that's the most important part. I think just being able to take a step back and just kind of focus on what I need to focus on. I never want to do this again, but in the end, there's something I can take and carry on forward," he said. "There is some," and he continues to go on and say, "there wasn't something that happened on a single pitch or mechanical issue or anything. It's just something that happens with starting pitchers. Shoulders, elbows, backs, knees, those kind of things. Athletes run into them. It wasn't anything chronic that came before or is going to last forever." Sale is now expected to throw off the mound Tuesday before manager Alex Cora decides what's next plan for action. But judging by the lefty's comments, he certainly seems very confident in his ability to pick up right where he left off. So for Red Sox fans, that's very reassuring news. I think that's something to be excited about, and the sooner Chris Sale comes back, the better. And that's a scary thing for other teams in the AL because the Red Sox are getting healthier. Hunter, do you have, I think that's really all we have today for the podcast. Do you have anything you want to add? Any more injury status quos?
I don't think so. I think we covered most of it.
Yeah, and we have a weekend podcast, I believe, Saturday. Hunter will not be able to be here, but I will have an assistant in here. That is still TBD. TDB? TBD?
To be determined.
Anyways, it could be my younger brother Brady, or it could be Todd Robinson. So, stay tuned for that. You guys remember Todd from our Yankees debate episode with Anthony Zamilio and Dan O'Rourke. So, anyways, guys, thanks for tuning in. For Sox Talk, I'm Tyler Sorrow.
I'm Hunter Sorrow.
And go Sox!